Hi, this is Michael Ann Conley, and you are listening to Habits into Health. Habits into Health is all about helping you become healthier and happier by turning around habitual behaviors that create problems for yourself and others. Today's show is about getting honest and how facing the obstacle of problem habits, ranging from the simply annoying to the seriously life-destroying, can lead to more authenticity in your life. Before we start, let's reflect and collect with an experiential exercise to take a break from the stress of the day and tune in at a slower pace. In this moment, focus on something physical that is standing out right now. It may stand out because it's speaking with discomfort, like a pain or an ache, or maybe it stands out because you feel an itch or a tickle. But regardless, whether you feel a softness or a pressure, let your attention be present with this part of your anatomy. Notice the quality of your attention on this location, this part of your geography, your world, yourself. Right now, I'm aware of my right hand. You can't see me, but I'm gesturing as I talk. I feel firm and yet soft at the same time. That's just an example. So notice the quality of your attention on your location. And then without changing anything, just notice how it changes. Does it shift, ebb, and flow? Most likely, yes. Giving 100% of your attention on something 100% of the time is really outside the nature of being. I can be with my hand right now, and I can even attempt to stop it from moving as I gesture, but that's not in the nature of things. We all, from the most skilled practitioner of meditation, even to the person who's in a vegetative state, in a coma, we all shift and change. And this is true whether that activity is neurological, hormonal, muscular, in whatever way that it's a part of us. So let your attention follow this ebbing, this flowing. How does your experience move even without you taking deliberate action? I mean, I can make something happen with my hand deliberately, but just in talking and gesturing, just being with how that movement is, it doesn't require deliberate action on my part. Does the tension or tickle change, or whatever it is that you're with? Here's the point, and you can sit with this as you listen. Even with experiences that seem like constant companions, whether it's low back pain or pressure from a headache, there are shifts in temperature, moisture, movement. And you know, many people with spinal cord injuries who have lost control of concrete movement or deliberate movement still experience sensation. If this is true for you, what is your experience of the subtle adjustments of sensation wherever you feel them? With this location that you've chosen, right now, in this moment, without deliberately intending anything, just deliberately intend to be with the ebbing and flowing, with the changing that is there. Whether it's a hand making a gesture, or a tightness in your mouth, whether it's your belly growling because it's time for lunch and you haven't eaten yet. Whatever it is, take this moment to be with it and notice how naturally things ebb and flow and change. Perhaps you can give yourself these few moments to practice. You don't have a body. You aren't a brain that has a body. You are a body, and your brain is a part of that. And with practice over time, you can become adept, skilled at recognizing your physiological experiences, at recognizing yourself. Even if you only take a few moments, such as right now, you are giving yourself the chance to experience your own rhythm, to let your body lead, and give your mind a rest. This is a part of the Habits into Health mantra. And how is that? Just noticing your physiological signals. Noticing how they change. That very little is frozen. You are, I am, we all are, a living process that is evolving, moving, changing. That's right. Now take a deep breath. You might want to, as I talk about today's topic, to let yourself just be with this part of you. Every now and then, just tap back in to this location. Check in with yourself. And we'll just have a little transitional moment just to remind you that you're listening to Michael Ann Conley with Habits into Health. And you're welcome to visit habitsintohealth.com, where you can hear more podcasts, you can read articles, and my occasional blog. If you want to discover ways to soften a problem habit so it doesn't control you, there's a place on the website where you can ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire as well. Now let's talk about our topic, which is about getting honest and how facing the obstacle of problem habits, which range from the simply annoying, like chewing your fingernails, to the seriously life-destroying, drug and alcohol abuse particularly come to mind, and how honesty can lead to more authenticity in your life. I'm a reader, and while, like you, I spend a lot of time online reading there, I also like reading those old-fashioned objects called books. Recently, I've been dipping into a wonderful book by Gabor Maté. It's called In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts, and it's about addiction. It's about very serious addiction, people who are dying of their addictions, and what he's learned from them. He says something valuable that I also experienced in my work in treatment programs with addicts and alcoholics. And that is a quality of honesty, a gift to those of us who do not take chances with death, can more easily avoid. In the neighborhood of Vancouver, British Columbia, where he works, Maté says that many people have noticed, well, I'll quote here from a book, quote, a sense of authenticity, a loss of the usual social games, the surrender of pretense, the reality of people who cannot declare themselves to be anything other than what they are. And then he says, yes, they lie, cheat, and manipulate. But don't we all, in our own way? Unlike the rest of us, they can't pretend not to be cheaters and manipulators. They're straight up about their refusal to take responsibility, their rejection of social expectation, their acceptance of having lost everything for the sake of their addiction. This isn't much by the straight world standards, but there's a paradoxical core of honesty wrapped in the compulsive deceit any addiction imposes. Now, isn't that a paradox? And yet, I found it to be true. When I first started working as a counselor in addiction treatment centers, someone told me, you have to be honest, because they can smell a phony from a mile away. And I really found that to be true. On those days when I wasn't on my best, covering up a little bit, and I would get called on the carpet. Important to remember about honesty. And so in my experience of working with people in recovery and in working on my own path to healing, honesty with oneself is a priority. the ability to look within, to face my own behavior, to face your own behavior, to confront even the white lies that each of us tells to ourselves, much less to others, well, it becomes essential. Yet we humans are so prone to lie. I just read about a study. It was presented this year, and it's about the link between lying and health. Well, that kind of got my attention. It seems that in America, people lie about 11 times a week. Wow. I'm going to have to start keeping better track. And I bet most of the time I just brush it off. And don't call it dishonesty at all. Is that maybe true for you? So here are three things that the people in that study identified as lying. They recognized that, oh, this is the way that I lie. First, exaggerating about daily accomplishments. That to-do list looms. I don't know about you, but I make a daily list of my commitments. And when I get to the end of the day, oh, it can be such a drag to see that I didn't get it all done. And if I tell myself the truth, it's because usually I've given myself too much to do, or I distracted myself with lower priorities. And sometimes I really didn't want to do it anyway. That's the truth. And this is where the third path to emotional sanity that I've talked about in another podcast comes in. Tell your truth without blame or judgment. Because when we lie, we don't serve. But if we tell the truth with blame and judgment, that's not very helpful either, is it? Number two, making false excuses for being late or not completing tasks. Have you ever done that? Now, come on, really. Haven't we all done that? Have you ever said things like, oh, I got caught in traffic, when really what happened is you overslept, or you forgot? Or what I've done is, I left something at the house, I had to go back, took an extra few minutes, I end up being late. And the lie just slips out, and it seems easy at the time to say, oh, it's no big deal, nobody got hurt. But it turns out that, you know, people do get hurt. Now, the third thing is some people said they'd respond to a question that bothered them by asking the other person a question. That's how they avoided telling a lie. Does that sound familiar? This is one of those where you're lying as a courtesy. That would be an example. Like, what do you say when a friend asks you how she looks in a dress and you think it makes her look atrocious? Can't say that now, can we? No, we're likely to say something like, well, what do you think? Or, how about this blue one? But lo and behold, the folks who did that study said that when people stop telling even minor lies, much less big lies, guess what? They report feeling much less tense or sad. So on the psycho-emotional level, lying makes us feel tense or sad. And on the physical level, they report fewer ailments like headaches or sore throats. So lying actually hurts physically too. Then they also experienced an improvement in their personal relationships and more positive social interactions. Now gosh, this sure sounds like common sense, doesn't it? That's true, but I think it's fun to have the science back it up. So I'm thinking about the lies I told myself for years, I mean probably 15 years, maybe 20, about what happened when I ate ice cream. Everybody knows that ice cream is my drug of choice, right? And I would say, oh, I just feel a little bloated. It's no big deal. Yeah, I feel sluggish, but I just didn't sleep well last night. Lies, lies, lies. It was amazing how things changed when I started telling myself the truth, which was whenever I eat this stuff, I end up feeling bloated and sluggish. And if I keep it up, it drains my energy. And before you know it, I'm depressed. How many times have you looked away from the truth about something that you're doing? Ignored the consequences altogether? Or rationalized the situation by making excuses? Or minimized the damages? Okay, breathe easy. Let's not squirm about it. After all, the Habits into Health model is not just to start small with your changes, but to be kind to yourself in the process. And here's how it could look like. Just a suggestion. It's something that I try to do as much as possible. So first, tell the truth to yourself about how your habit is affecting your life, your work, your finances, your relationships with friends and family, your weight, anything else. Tell the truth. Now, second, tell the truth to yourself about how you would have handled this same scenario in the past when you were lying, rationalizing, minimizing, whatever words you want to use, anything to get away from the truth. Now, maybe in the past would be 6 months ago, might be 2 weeks ago, but I would suggest you choose something like a year ago or even 5 or 10 years ago. Number three, if you can honestly say that you would have been lying to yourself then, and you're not lying to yourself now, yay, celebrate. Congratulate yourself for catching the lie, for being a truth teller in this moment. And mark this moment. This is number four. Mark this moment on your calendar or in your journal. And then going forward, continue to mark those moments when you catch yourself in the lie and refuse to blame and judge. This is absolutely essential in truth-telling. It doesn't work if you truth-tell and beat yourself up. That means that there's another lie underneath that. Now, of course, there's a whole lot more to making the change than this. I'm going to be covering that in the future in a free teleseminar that I'm planning to prepare everyone for the holidays. And that time in January where we all tend to pressure ourselves with New Year's resolutions, which we then give up and don't complete. For now, though, just know that in this moment of telling the truth, of not making excuses, but not blaming or judging yourself, you are making a small step toward a future free of your problem habit. And isn't that great? It's worth a pat on the back. Celebrate the small moments. Face the bigger moments that are problems, and celebrate the fact that you're facing them. It may not sound like it makes any sense, but I gotta tell you, it's worked for me, and I pass it on to you. Regardless, if you're bothered by a behavior that has just got the better of you, and trying to deal with it on your own hasn't given you the results you want, consider getting reinforcement and support. Blame and judgment get in the way of creating any kind of change, and that's why in Habits into Health, we start small, and we encourage and practice kindness. We've been encouraging and practicing kindness today. It's time for me to sign off. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.